from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
The 3-2.
It is high ball four! A walk-off walk, Mitch Haniger! The Mariners score 6 unanswered runs, and they take down the Phillies in 10 innings!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Ledecky is pulled away from Tippis in the end! And the 800 still belongs to the one and only Haney Ledecky! Tippis with a silver!
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan. There it is. There it is.
There we go. Hype horn's working.
What is happening?
Not broken.
No, we're still hyping it up.
We are still hyping it up.
Much to the chagrin of some in our audience who still don't like the hype horn at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Well, what do you want me to do?
It's a controversial topic amongst the Dirt and Sprague audience.
I once in a while listen to NPR OPB radio coming in and like,
good
hello,
morning.
Good morning. Welcome into NPR.
It is 6:01.
Do-do-do.
The news is next.
First in Washington, we've got politicians lying every other day.
I do that sometimes too on my way, and I'm like, let's just check on the news. Let's see what's happening. Let's see if the world's going to end today. Will we make it to Tuesday? Let's find out. And I find myself, after about 10 minutes of driving, like, I'm falling more asleep than I was in the first place. I need something to get my blood pumping a little bit.
That's kind of what I think. So I think even if, like, it annoys you, it at least is alerting you that something's happening.
Hey!
We're not ESPN!
Hey, we're live. We're local. We're here.
Moving.
Happy Monday, everybody.
Shaking. How's everybody's weekend?
We had a good weekend, man. Good weekend. Got out, played some golf, took Teddy ball game to the pool for the first time.
Oh, yeah? How'd that go?
It was good. Then we didn't realize that we should probably give him a bath afterwards. That didn't really compute in our heads.
Oh, yeah, the chlorine.
Yeah, didn't really cross our minds too much. He's got a little bit of dry skin here or there, a little eczema.
Oh, yeah,
He's a white. He's dealing with the white problems.
Yep.
And we didn't realize that. And later in the day, we're like, why is he like more red than usual?
Right.
Let's Google this. And we Googled it, and we're like, yeah, we're going to need to give him a bath before he goes to bed.
Mm.
Thankfully, cleared up by Sunday. But there was a brief moment. It looked like he was getting attacked by some random insect that was in our house that caused a bit of a panic in the Dirt household.
It's a nice reminder. I don't know why, but it went through my head last week. I was washing my cars. My wife didn't ask me to. It just was like,
I'm going to wash the cars.
A little dirty. I haven't washed them in a long time.
Yeah.
And I washed it, and I went, you know, nobody teaches you how to be an adult. You just kind of learn as you go.
You figure it out.
And it's the same with parenting. It's like you know what you saw growing up from your parent or parents, and you try to apply the thought. But nobody gives you a manual when those things are born. It's like, you're just going to learn as you go. Good luck guessing. To you.
Yes. I was thinking about this the other day. We took so many birthing classes prior to the birthing process, which is important. I mean, it's important, right? You need to know, like count to 10. You're breathing, you're holding, here's your position. Those are all, it's a very stressful time for her, not for me. We're getting through it.
Find out what to expect.
Yeah. There's some things that you learn from it. But I chuckled at the notion of why wasn't there like a 3-week series on, okay, when he comes, here's what you're going to want to do. Right. Here are some activities for you. Here are some strategies.
Yeah.
Why don't you try? We didn't take any of those classes.
They don't offer them.
The birthing process was like 8 hours and then it was over, and then it's like, all right, you're on your own, figure it out from here.
It really is remarkable. People were texting this in, I think, when Teddy was born and you had left. People were like, it's crazy, they just let you take a human home.
Yeah, after like 2 days.
They don't even know like what your situation is. They don't know if you're in a house.
They'll put you in jail if you don't take it home.
Yeah. Right. You get in more trouble if you don't take that human home.
You can't stay here, man. I'm not paying those hospital bills. You know how expensive that was?
There's no vetting. There's no like, hey, grew up in this environment. Let's offer a mental health therapist for this area of their life. Probably traumatized. Need to help this next kid.
The wife was very stressed about it because she thought, how did we not realize this? And I'm like, well, it's pretty normal
to not know things like that.
We should have probably thought maybe we should rinse him off after getting him in the pool for the first time. It probably should have dawned on us, but I had to give her the motivational speech of like, this is parenting. You learn, and now next time we take him to a pool, what do we know to do?
Yeah.
Boom. Shower. It served its purpose. He's okay. Skin's gotten better the next day. We have learned our lesson, and now next time we take him swimming, which we will at some point again this summer before it's over, we're going to rinse him off after we get home.
I think you're both right. So if you would have texted me, I got a 5 a.m. dirt text this weekend.
You did. Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what's happening in that house, but for him to be up at 5 a.m.
Then I made the mistake of going back to bed. Then I was groggy.
I thought you did. Yeah, that's a big mistake.
It was a bad idea.
If you would have been like, hey, he's got this skin thing in the pool, I'd say dirt. It's okay to not know some things about parenting. It happens all the time.
Should probably rinse them off.
Don't you shower when you're done swimming in the pool?
Yeah. I mean, not always. I'm going to be honest.
Oh, really?
Not all. I mean, I don't. When was the last time I haven't swam in a pool in a long? I guess I technically did this weekend.
I probably do it a little more than you because I have slightly older children, and so we go to pools. But I always feel a little sticky, a little weird when I get out of those pools.
I mean, my neighborhood has a saltwater pool, and there's a shower there.
Ooh, that's a fancy swimming
pool.
Before and after, it says, humble please brag. Rinse off, even though there's no chlorine. And trust me, I don't want that kid pee on me, so no, I'm going to rinse that off.
That's a valid point. I mean, I should shower after I swim, too. So maybe this is my fault, that I'm just a weird degenerate that doesn't always shower after he swims. And so I put my son in the pool, and I thought, he's fine. He's good to go.
Yeah, your nickname is Dirt.
I mean, what if he was in the water? Technically, he's taking a bath, basically. He's just flopping around in the water. It's technically getting a bath in there.
It's funny you mentioned the pool, and we had text something, and he responded like, man, it's crazy sometimes. We think the same things without talking about this at all.
We do.
And it's funny you bring up pool. We might be in the buying a pool business.
You're getting a pool?
We're kicking around the idea, like really kicking around
like a
the
real
idea.
Pool?
Like digging like down into the ground?
No, I don't have big enough space for that. Okay. I'd have to take trees out and it'd be a whole thing.
Above ground pool guy.
But like a quality above ground pool. Not a kiddie pool, not a stock tank.
Yeah.
Not a horse trough. An actual like 3 to 5 foot tall kind of pool, but there's a lot of research going on into that now.
I'm a little jealous because I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to be following this closely to see, is it worth it? Do you like it? How often do you use it?
Yep.
My biggest question is the heating mechanism, because I think that's the most untalked about aspect of a pool, is that if you don't have a heated pool,
it's not going to be heated.
It's not.
It'll be filtered, but it won't be heated.
Okay. Yeah.
Those above ground ones, I mean, I'm sure there's somebody that's going to be like, oh, actually.
Well,
there are heaters for those. It's 2024.
Come on, get a heater. Spring. You got that big radio money over there.
Yeah, that big,
above ground heated pool. I'm jumping in. Dirt's coming over.
Spend all my money on the stock market's hitting crap.
What you just described was the pool of the poor kid that I went over and visited in middle school. Like, seriously, it's like, hey, man, you want to come and swim in my pool? Absolutely, I want to come and swim in the pool.
It's heated.
It's above ground. It's 4 4 feet tall, and it is cold as hell, and grass is flowing.
So you want me to have like a 78-degree heated above ground pool?
Yes, your kids want that too.
That'd be delightful. Because you're not going to realize how long this pool is going to take to warm up.
Yeah.
That's the part that you're not thinking
about. Well, I don't think it will warm up. I think it'll just always be cold.
You just want a cold tub.
Again, I'm in the research business, and I just started this last night, so I'm sorry.
I want to know how long it takes once this is purchased for the kids to complain that the water's too cold.
And then never go in.
And then it's too cold, Dad, it's too cold.
That we spent all this money.
I remember I went to Arizona last year, and one of the things that we were looking for when we were renting a place was to get a have a pool.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to Sunshine. It's March in Arizona. The highs are like in the 80s. I want to go lay next to a pool, jump in a pool. It's like 42 degrees and raining back in Portland. We get there. I am jacked out of my mind. Got there late one night. Next morning, wake up. It's sunny outside. Woo, it's going to be a beautiful day.
Right.
I go dip my toe in the pool. Not heated. Now, they don't do it in Arizona because it's 8,000 degrees in the summer, and so you don't necessarily, because the water just stays warm from June to basically October because it's so hot. And the disappointment on my face of not having a heated pool, it almost ruined the vacation.
So when we went to Vietnam in December, it was in the 70 to low 80s,
mm-hmm.
and we had a couple hotels we were staying at, and the first one we landed at in Da Nang was at the rooftop of a nice hotel.
Ooh.
So the breakfast buffet was the best breakfast buffet we ended up having on the whole trip. And so we got excited. It was a little overcast, but I'm like, there's a pool upstairs. Let's go.
Let's go jump in that pool.
What they don't tell you about countries like Vietnam is Vietnam's like 10 years behind where we are.
Sure, technology's not quite there yet.
Buddy, not a heated pool.
No.
It was frigid. It was freezing. My kids swam for 10 minutes. That's about all they could handle.
Yeah, said, well, feeling lush until you jump in the pool, right?
Yeah.
Now, somebody is saying they have an above-ground pool and a heater is not needed.
Oh,
so maybe it heats better because it's above the ground and it's not as cold as it's because it's below the ground. I don't know what the protocol is here.
Look, we're in Oregon. We know what it is. I understand that there's probably a draining system.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah. Pour the water out.
I don't know if I'm going to do it, but we're really kicking around the idea. My daughter's like, why don't we get a kiddie pool? And I'm like, I've done that 3 times in your life.
No, it's not worth it.
We did it when you were a baby. You liked it. Then you kind of stopped. We stopped. It gets dirty. Let's get rid of it. Then we bought one when you were like 7. Oh, I want a kiddie pool. Yeah, you stop using it. It gets dirty. We get rid of it. I bought a third one.
Yeah.
And the same thing happens every time you get those colorful, kiddie
inflatable pools.
Not even the plastic ones.
Oh, even the plastic. Oh, those are worse.
It just is like every time you think, this would be a good idea, we'll just lounge in it. It's like nobody uses it. They use it 3 times. It gets dirty. No. It gets gross. It takes up space. No, thank you.
You gotta unravel that thing and fold it up. It's like folding a fitted sheet. Good luck folding that and getting back into the box. And it's all dirty on top of it, too.
Dude, we got an inflatable pool and moved in. It got punctured.
Yeah.
And it just was like, and then it was just gross. I'm just like, okay, what a waste of my time.
Yeah, you either got to go big or you got to go home on this one. If you're doing a pool, you got to do it right, or you just, let's find a neighbor with a pool or have a neighborhood pool.
There's no neighborhood pool, and there's no neighbor with a pool.
Nah.
Come and swim at mine.
Saltwater pool is pretty clutch.
Yeah. Saltwater pool is
guys.
Big humble brag for a Monday morning from Schultze.
Well, Chris Paul, I like to go to TMZ once in a while. Chris Paul's selling his house in L.A., and there's photos of these stars and these celebrities in their homes.
Of course.
Saltwater pool, hot tub right next to it. I mean, I looked at this and I went, why would you ever sell or move from this house?
No, seriously.
Backyard's dialed. He's got a deck up, or not a deck, but he's got a balcony out of a room. Below it, he's got sliding doors that open up, and so it's basically an extension of your house to go outside. I'm just like, why would you ever move from here?
What's better than that? Although
he's worth $200 million. He can go buy everything better than that.
That's true. our pool does not have a hot tub, so I'm actually kind of doing the same thing you've been doing with the above ground pool. I'm looking at the inflatable hot tub. So
ooh,
I've been looking at that for a year or so.
And
really, I'm mad I missed a Black Friday sale 3 years ago where I could have gotten a nice cold Coleman one for $150. I mean, it was just dirt cheap at Walmart, and I just missed this just kind of them getting rid of whatever.
Where's the trust level in a $150 inflatable hot tub?
No, it's the same one that's on sale now for $400.
Okay.
It was just them trying to clear some stuff out, but it's 2 adults maybe can fit in it.
Well, so my stepsister did this, Schultze, because I was like, inflatable. That seems like a mistake.
It's like a raft.
My stepsister got one, and it's still, they still use it.
Hell
They've
yeah.
got a dog, too, a really crazy big dog, and hasn't punctured it. They swear by it.
That's a good sign.
That's given me some hope. I'm thinking, like, I put it in the garage, so then in the wintertime I can use it. You know, if I want to in the summertime, I can open up the garage. It's cold, it's hot. Like, either way, I can enjoy the comforts of a hot tub. I am 95% sold on this. So
hot tub sounds like a good idea. What's my bill increase with a pool, too, is what I was wondering, you know?
Yeah, the water increase,
the filter's
electricity.
Always running, like, God, yeah. Dude.
Well, and if you did get a heater, that's where the
That's where the cost is, yeah, to keep that thing heated.
See, now I'm talking myself out of this. Cheapskate Sprague's back.
You're going to go cold water pool. It's kind of a cold plunge in the winter if you want it to be that way. January, February, go get your cold plunge on.
I think you have to drain those above-ground pools.
You can't keep water in it all year?
I think if they freeze, it, like, quite literally rips your pool apart. It's like, hey, what happened?
Well, yeah, a little skating rink, dude. We'll come over and play some pond hockey in the Sprague's backyard.
Oh, man. Look at us. Pool boys.
Pool boys.
Welcome in. Happy Monday, everybody.
I would love an above-ground hot tub and an above-ground pool.
Be nice.
I'm gonna come hang out at both your houses once you get these figured out, all right?
Well, we got a good show today. There is a lot to discuss. Let's start with our favorite things from the week, and that comes with some audio. Dirt and Spray, good to be with you on this Monday morning. We start next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This is Dirt and Sprague, Gun 1080, The Fan.
All right, we got to be on time because we have a guest dirt live, 6:30 a.m., joining us from Paris, France.
We're going boots on the ground.
We're going boots on ground. Our good friend Andrew Gry, formerly of the L.A. Times. Boy, talk about bouncing back in a big way. He is writing for GQ, NBC News. He's covering the Olympics.
That's pretty cool. You get to spend a summer in Paris.
That's badass.
Of all the assignments you could get, that one's got to be near the top of the list.
He wrote a profile piece on GQ of Noah Lyles, and he covered the 100-meter race yesterday. We'll get to that in a second. Our favorite things from the weekend. I want to start in Major League Baseball. My team sucks. They lost a series to the Marlins, but that's not it. My favorite thing in the weekend is the Chicago White Sox, who you asked our guest on Friday if they're quite literally the worst team in pro sports. And I think they are. They have lost 20 straight games. They're looking to tie the 88 O's for 21.
Is that the all-time record?
26 is what my gambling producer shot me yesterday, okay. And that's from the 1888 season.
That doesn't count.
Okay.
That doesn't count.
They're aiming to achieve this record. They lost 20 games in a row. Here's their manager, Pedro Grifol.
We put up 7 runs on 12 hits. Baldwin had a really big day. Vaughn had a big day. Benny, you know, with the double and the homer. So, you know, there are some positive things in this loss. But at the end of the day, you know, we've lost 20 in a row. You know, and that's painful. That sucks. And we just gotta find a way to put that behind us and, you know, come out there and be professionals and do what we got to do tomorrow.
Dirt, there's a lot of positives to take away from our 20th straight loss. They haven't won in 3 weeks, and now people are wondering if they will break the all-time losing streak record.
It reminds me of like a Chance post-game when the Blazers lose by 60 for the second time in a year, and it's like, well, you know, Scoot had 13 points in the third quarter, though. So, you know, you got to find those silver linings when you lose 20 consecutive games. They scored 7 runs in the finale against the Twinkies yesterday.
God.
We got to find silver linings. We got to find positives. It's unbelievable. They are 60 games below 500.
So Ozzie Guillen on NBC Chicago said if you took their 20-game losing streak and their 14-game losing streak, because they've got both.
Yeah, 34 games.
If you took those out, they would still have the worst record.
Yes, because they're 60 games below 500. So quick math tells me they'd still be, what, 26 games below 500, even if you took out those two losing
Unbelievable.
Streaks?
Unbelievable.
That mouth kind of checks out in my head, so we'll run with it. It is embarrassing that they're that bad. I didn't pull any audio from it. It happened on Friday night, and I watched it. I'm not watching every game because it's painful, and I'm playing NCAA football more now. Blake Snell threw a no-hitter on Friday.
Yeah, he threw a no-no.
He threw a no-no.
Yeah.
And Bob Melvin let him go.
Yeah.
Which was great because he was at, I want to say, 99 pitches after the 7th inning. And that's a guy who has been injured basically all year. They've been waiting for him to show up and be the Cy Young Award winner, Blake Snell, which he has been over the last like 3 weeks. He's been outstanding. And they let him finish. And in so many examples of coaches, managers who take their pitchers out because they're scared and they don't want them to throw too many pitches. It's a once in a lifetime. Blake Snell's never thrown a no hitter before. It's his first one of his career. It's an opportunity to put another pin in his cap of a great career and winning multiple Cy Youngs. And so that was really cool to watch on Friday night.
My brother-in-law alerted me to this. I was at my niece's soccer match, and we went and got something to eat afterwards. And he goes, I think he confused me with somebody else. Because he goes, yeah, your guy, Blake Snell.
Hey, your guy.
A Giants fan. Go Braves. But he goes, hey, your guy, Blake Snell, he's throwing a no-no right now.
No-no going. Come on.
You know, I didn't say this to him, but in my head, I'm like,
yeah, I know.
That's cool.
That's good. Yeah.
I think what's cool about it is the fact that he was allowed to finish it.
Yes.
That, it's like, it's such an achievement. He talked about it in the postgame, like, hey, what are you going to say now? Like, I've kind of accomplished everything as a pitcher.
Everybody says you can't go deep, can't throw that many pitches.
Right.
He's like, what are we going to do now?
And he did it, and it's obviously an amazing feat, but it's almost like the idea that you're allowed to do it is almost as impressive as actually doing it.
That's almost the news at this point now when you see a no-hitter. It's the fact that the manager actually let the pitcher finish the game. And it was kind of a fun finish. It was Ellie De La Cruz was the last out of the game, and so you have their star player, the crowd's on
it's
their
a hell
feet.
Of a way like, to end
all right, last out, and he swung at the first pitch and hit a fly ball to right field, and he was out. But it was a fun Friday night of baseball.
My other favorite thing was yesterday. I don't know how this wasn't. We'll go to NBC Sports on the call.
There's an Olympic gold medal waiting for somebody who wants it the most. Now Thompson starts to wind up. Curry's going with him. This is close. Jamaica's going to do it. Kishane Thompson is a gold medalist on debut. We thought it was going to take 9.7 to win. Guess what he just ran? 9.78. But it was a lean at the tape by Thompson. Visually, we think he got it. They're working on the photo. Fred Curley pushed him all the way. Noah Lyles is looking anxiously.
So that was NBC Sports because everybody that watched this thought the same thing. That Jamaican runner won that race. And I've looked at this a million times. Now, I will just, Michael Johnson's one of my favorite track athletes. Obviously, 96, the gold shoes.
The gold shoes.
He's working for NBC, and he watched the replay, and he wasn't live, but he watched, and he told everybody that Lyles won. And I understand that it's like your hip, not your foot. I've watched this a million times, and I give Noah Lyles the credit for winning. I just can't see, he won, but he won.
I don't see it.
By 0.005 of a second. For perspective of that,
yeah,
that's faster than us blinking.
Yes.
Is what the margin was. The last place runner, by the way, of these eight runners in the 100 meters, the last place runner would have won the 88 gold and beat Carl Lewis. That's how fast these dudes are.
Damn it, I was born in the wrong generation!
Yeah, basically, yeah.
I did enjoy, I'm glad that you had the same reaction, because I've looked at this video and this picture a million times.
I still can't see it. I've seen everything. The rendering, computer-generated ones, the photos. I've seen it a million times. I just don't see how he did it, but he did it, and I'm glad he did it.
So is there a certain body part crossing the finish line? That's how it's decided?
Yeah, I heard them saying it's the collarbone. They don't do the face. They don't do the feet first.
It's the collarbone?
It's the collarbone. So what it's essentially like center mass, because anybody can lean forward. They're trying to give everybody the most even shot possible at the win. And I thought that I did see there was like a little lean. It is literally that close.
There's a lean.
You see Noah Lyles is like, torso, his shoulders kind of start to cross that line first, and that is what got him the gold.
I'm going to give you some hot takes on this. This is like me chiming in on soccer.
Yeah, he's the world champion, by the way. You can't question that world.
No,
first
he is the world.
Years.
Which is cool. I'm glad that we have the fastest guy again. Like we haven't had that in a while.
Gatlin was the last one.
Was the last one. That was a long time ago, man. And I was seeing videos and pictures of Usain Bolt and how he just blew, like, was like 10 feet ahead of everybody when he was winning his gold medals of just how much faster he was. So this is cool that we're back on top. As I got a frog in my throat. Shouldn't it just be the first thing that crosses the finish line?
I can kind of understand both arguments.
I mean, there's a line.
In racing, in car racing, it's whatever.
It doesn't have to be your back tire. Doesn't have to be your bumper. Doesn't have to be your windshield wiper. It's whatever. Whoever crosses the line first.
But
shouldn't this be the same?
Yeah, but in that sense,
didn't he technically get there quicker? Something of his body, because the Jamaican guy's toe crossed the line first.
I thought most of his body. Did
I did
as well,
too.
But
in the freeze frame that they have, his toe is like over the line.
It is.
And Lyle's toe is not over the line yet. And then I'm like, wait, how did he? That's how I got confused.
But also, isn't it like kind of like diving into first? Like it happens, but like very rarely. I don't know. I could see both arguments.
Yeah, I'm
not
confused.
Enough of a track expert to really have an argument with you or debate on it. I just know I watched it and I thought the same thing NBC thought. I was like, oh, dude, the Jamaican guy won. Lyles lost. Boy, talked a lot of ass about the basketball players calling themselves world champions.
He did.
And how he wants to be the greatest athlete of all time. And, oh, he didn't win it. Oh, wait, he won it?
Wait, how did
he win it? Oh, my God, he won it. USA! Yeah. USA! That was real-time me yesterday watching the 100-meter race. That was in 30 seconds,
all
by the way.
All of it in 30 seconds.
All I know is watching it live, I didn't know that he won officially, but I think it was obvious enough to people watching that it wasn't. At first, I was like, okay, yeah, Jamaican runner wins, but it was like, hold on, I thought I saw Lyles cross first. That's kind of what went through my head.
You thought he did, because he went up to the Jamaican runner and said, I think you got it.
Congratulated him.
Yeah,
he ran up and tapped him on the back.
No, I thought, initially, I'm like, oh, okay, wait, Jamaican? Nope, no one, no. Okay, no, it's Jamaican. Okay, no, it's American. All right, let's go. That's kind of,
so his next one, he's looking to get four golds here. Hasn't happened in a long time for a U.S. men's track athlete. The 200-meter, the semis, and the round ones, all that happened. The round one is today. Semis are on Wednesday. And then the final for that is on Thursday.
Okay. So we got a couple more chances at it.
And he's already come out and basically said, I'm winning the 200
meters.
I'm
the greatest of all time.
I'm going to smoke these cats. Like, boy, this guy is braggadocious, but he's backing it up and winning gold.
It's what you need for track and field, man. It gets me excited and I want to watch. Now, I had not seen hardly anything in the Olympics live. This was when I was walking from one room to the other, and the wife had it on, and I'm like, oh, look at this. It was the 4x100 where they go alternate men, women, man, woman. And it was like the race was literally starting as I walked into the room, and they run four laps, so it doesn't take that long. I'm like, I'm going to watch this. Let's see. The Americans were leading the entire way. The Netherlands ends up winning it, and the last gal catches us and catches, I think, a gal from the UK, just blitzes them on the home stretch.
And it comes, I come to find out later, there was somebody who went viral at a track event recently, and we lost in this race to Mickey Mouse.
When you're putting your mind to it, you know exactly what to do indoors. How was that for you?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, it was such a strong race. We were all running so fast, multiple running in the 50, so I knew I had to go out fast. I had Lick in front of me, so I wanted to be in front, and I could hear how big she was behind me, so I was like, okay, this is good, now we keep going, and this crowd is so amazing.
Man.
We lost to Mickey Mouse.
Almost a dead ringer to Mickey.
The last 100 meters, we lost to Mickey Mouse. I think her name is Femke Bol, I think is how you say her name. But
she should have ended it with a
woo-hoo. She was unbelievable to watch, and then it went viral on social media that was her. We lost to Mickey Mouse in this race.
Like, you're going to lose to somebody. Mickey Mouse is pretty great.
Not a bad thing to lose to. We also, I know we're against it. We had somebody lost a chance at winning a medal because of their unit in the high jump. Did you see that highlight?
I missed that. I saw a guy with a pole. What is it? What's the stick in the ground? Is it pole vaulting?
And that's what I'm talking about. Where he's trying to go over the bar. Is that pole vaulting?
Is that the one where the guy fell?
I don't know if he fell. He was going over the bar, and he had it all clear, but he had too big of a package.
Oh, and
the package on the way down hit the bar. The bar fell, and he would have cleared it and, I believe, won a medal, but his unit was too big. And not you got to tuck it. You got to tuck your unit when you're jumping over a bar.
I don't think it was his unit.
You think it was a sack?
I've watched this, like, too much, and I'm like, nope, that's the parsable.
Huh? Yeah. Good for you.
Thank you.
I did see a guy from Estonia go straight up. Didn't move, and then, like, he kind of just ended up falling down and falling on the ground. I'm like, how awful does that got to feel on the Olympic stage? One bad moment.
Guy's in the Olympics. He's doing all right.
Let's carry this over. Let's go live to Paris, France. Our good friend Andrew Greif, who's covering the Olympics for GQ and NBC Sports, NBC News, is going to join us live. We'll get his thoughts on Noah Lyles. He wrote a profile piece on him. He'll join us next on 1080 The Fan. All right, we're efforting Andrew Greif, going to join us. Hopefully live from Paris, France.
Paris.
Follow Golliver on Instagram. He's giving some good content, man.
Yeah, he's over there covering the basketball.
He went straight from Vegas to Paris.
What a life.
So, like, I don't know if he's been home in over 2 months.
Yeah, probably not.
What a life.
It's our chance to get Golliver now that he's 9 hours ahead of us. He doesn't have to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Let's go, Golliver.
It looks like either Schultz's got him or he's leaving a voicemail.
You're getting a one finger hold it. Hold.
I know. The one finger doesn't indicate one or the other. It's like, hey, wait. Don't say anything right now.
Yeah, one other Olympic note was Tom Kim, who has to serve mandatory military service in South Korea as a golfer. He missed the medal stand by one shot yesterday.
Stunned you didn't put Scottie Scheffler in your favorite things from the weekend.
He won gold.
The podium.
And Rahm choked. He had a 3-shot lead with 7 holes to go, and he choked it away. Didn't even get a medal.
Enjoy that one, liver. do we got him? Are we good? All right, let's go live to Paris, France. From Portland, Oregon to Paris, France, our good friend Andrew Greif is covering the Olympics for GQ, NBC News. He's doing a great job over there. We got some good pieces up. Profile piece on Noah Lyles he wrote in July, and he covered the 100-meter race, which was crazy. He's on Twitter, at Andrew Greif. Andrew, good to have you back on. Good morning or good afternoon, good evening. I forget the time zone difference here, but thank you for hopping on with us in Portland. Did you think that...
That's better.
Did you think that Jamaican runner won the race like we did in real time?
Well, Noah Lyles thought that Kashane Thompson won in real time. He walked up to Kashane Thompson after across the finish line and said, I think you got that one, big dog. And Thompson said, I don't know, to him. And they popped up, took 28 seconds, felt like a lifetime, I'm sure. But it was obviously Lyles' race, just an amazing thing. When I told Lyles in the interview area afterward, I was the one who informed him. I said, you had the slowest reaction time. And you were 7th out of 8 with 50 meters to go. How did you beat them? And he said, I just believe in myself. And that's always the Noah Lyles I've known.
That's a remarkable stat, too, to be that far behind, that far into the race. What was the atmosphere like? Because the strangers, you mentioned it taking 30 seconds. It felt like a lifetime on TV, and the broadcasters called the wrong winner initially, and I thought that the Jamaican won as well. Like, what was the atmosphere like as everybody was waiting to find out?
Yeah, I mean, the 100-meter final, my first one, this is my first time covering the Olympics. And so, you know, I've heard lots of things about what it's like, and especially the men's 100 final. It's a glamour event. And what people tell you who've done this before, it's true. It goes from kind of a rave-type atmosphere in this 77,000-seat stadium, completely sold out. They have a light show going as the guys get in the blocks. And then, right before the start, it gets pin drop quiet. You know, you've never heard a stadium that quiet in your life. gun goes off. It goes crazy. And then it kind of got quiet again, right? When the photo finished, it pops up. There's a photo finish on the scoreboard. Everyone's just waiting around. Noah was surprised that his name popped up because he wasn't expecting it to take that long. So it just went from a matter of, like, you know, crazy quiet to obviously the burst of noise, the wall of noise, to this uncertainty zone, and then just came, kind of became a party once again. It was Noah was, as you can imagine, wired for the next 30 minutes that he spent with us. And it was quite the atmosphere.
Yeah, we're talking with Andrew Greif live in Paris here. He's covering the Olympics, as he mentioned, for the first time. Look, he is a product of track athletes, and you wrote a really good profile in GQ about him, and it's a very interesting dive into the mental health side of this, his family support, his kind of team support. He's a younger athlete. I mean, he was only in high school 8 years ago. Here he is. He's braggadocious. He's telling NBA players they're not technically world champions, and so there's like this weird pocket of people that are kind of, I think, kind of seeing to see if he's going to fail in his face and not be a world champion. He wins the 100 meters. What's it been like covering him, and when you wrote this profile piece, what have you learned about Noah Lyles as an athlete?
Well, I mean, he's a guy who is a showman at heart. He's a little bit of a contradiction at heart. You know, he's a guy who, like I said, loves a crowd. That's why one of the reasons why he felt so out of touch in Tokyo at those Olympics. It was an empty stadium. He was already nursing an injury. His mental health wasn't in a good place, and sort of the inability to connect with fans really threw him there. So to have the biggest crowd of his life, the loudest crowd of his life tonight, that obviously was a stage that he wanted to perform on, but he's a guy, so he loves that environment, but he's also someone who had told me in that profile that he really needs alone time to, you know, sometimes like he's high wattage. He wants to be an extrovert, but then he really gets introverted. And so finding that balance of the ways he can set himself up in the best position for success has been really a 3-year journey ever since he had all that depression and disappointment in the Tokyo Olympics. Safe to say he's figured it out now.
I'm curious to ask you, Andrew, you mentioned first time you've covered an Olympics. I probably will never have the chance to go. I know it's coming to the States in LA in 4 years, but probably not going to be there if I'm being honest. I'm just curious your thoughts following the Olympics your entire life, I'm assuming, and just what has surprised you? What has lived up to the hype? Have there been any disappointments? Just what's it been like over in Paris?
I mean, it being my first time, everything is new, and I've been really pleasantly surprised in a good way that the transportation to and from venues, which is something that people who cover this type of event always say is like the worst thing, because, you know, the buses that carry media to and from venues can always sound like they're getting delayed or backed up or off schedule. They're never on time. I've heard that for years from people who've done this for a long time. And I feel like this one has been wonderful. You know, the organizers provided journalists with free metro pass. So I just take the subway every day around Paris, and it's really convenient. Trains run extremely, every 5 minutes in some cases. So that was my biggest concern, just getting around. It's been really wonderful. People in the city have been excellent to deal with. I mean, I don't even know how to say I speak a little French. I speak that little French. But they have been so welcoming. You know, I go every day to my neighborhood boulangerie, get a sandwich. So the city's been warm. The venues are incredible. It's just beautiful. The Eiffel Tower Beach Volleyball Stadium was the first place I went. And, I think it's a really high bar for LA to follow.
What is next for you? The 200 meters is coming up. Noah seemed very, from some quotes I saw, seems very confident in his ability to win that event. What is next for you in terms of what you're covering? It seems like you go to event to event. You mentioned the volleyball, covering track and field. Like, what is next for Andrew Greif in Paris?
I am essentially, if they allowed me to sleep in the Stade de France where track is, I would take them up on it. That's how often I'm here. So I'm just tethered to track and field. I'll be writing off the men's 200 and the women's 400 meter hurdles, which might be the signature event besides the men's 100 of this entire track program. Sydney McLaughlin, Femke Bol from the Netherlands. That's kind of the two next stories I'm doing for NBC News in a couple of days from now. But you'll see my name pop up in the Oregonian from time to time. I've got another one in the chamber for them in a couple days off the men's 1500. So really glad to be out here and sort of writing about track, which, you know, I obviously have known best from my background. But It's a pretty unique experience, and I'm glad I hustled to get out here.
What time is it there right now?
It is 3:44. You are 9 hours behind on the West Coast.
Okay, 9 hours. That's what I thought it was. I want to get you out of here because we appreciate the time. I know you're super busy. Any opportunity, any window for you to get some hoops? I know you're also a hoops guy, so is there any opportunity for you to get whether men's or women's hoops action?
You know, the hoops is relocated from the north of France and Lille, about 2 hour train ride away, to Paris now for the knockout round. So there is going to be a slower day here for track and field, and I do want to make my way over. I won't necessarily be covering it, but, you know, if I can see Nicholas Batum, who I got to know a little bit on the Clippers beat, and Ty Lue, that'd be great. So I was talking to him about this Olympics with Batum for, more than a year when he was on the Clippers, and how excited we would be to be here. So it would be nice to connect with him. And I hope I can make my way over there.
Well, I'm happy for you, man. Seriously, you're doing great work over there for NBC News. You mentioned the Oregonian and OregonLive.com. Glad to see you over there having like a lifetime memory covering the Olympics, track and field. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Andrew Greif. He's joining us live in Paris. Andrew, pick up some French, continued success, and enjoy the rest of the track and field events.
My friends, merci.
There we go. Andrew Greif live in Paris covering track and field for multiple outlets. And I was happy. We've had him on several times, both to cover Oregon football.
Yeah, back in the day.
A little basketball even before that. And then most recently, the Clippers. And then the LA Times just made all these cuts. And I'm like, what a stupid decision that is. He's the best guy on that beat. But happy for him. He's over there in Paris covering track and field.
I will say, too, the addition of the Paris ambulance or sirens in the background,
That's
maybe as authentic of an interview as we have ever done.
It was spot on. It threw me off in the beginning because I've heard his voice a million times. I thought it was him. It
sounded like a female was jumping on the phone or something. I'm like, what is this?
Oh, he was in a crowd. There were people talking around him and stuff.
Yeah. It threw me off a little bit. But the sirens in the background, that was great. That was authentic, straight from France.
I want to get to some NFL stuff. We'll do it next on The Fan. All right, let's get to some football dealings, shall we? We've got a lot of Olympic talk here on The Fan. The NFL top 100 players list came out.
Yes, let's yell. I'm ready to be angry.
Are you?
I am. I'm outraged!
Maybe you'll be kind of the face of a new network without outrage.
Maybe it could, Skip Bayless is gone. Are they looking to pay somebody to scream stupid crap and nobody to watch? Because I could definitely do that job.
The top 100 list. So this is the players ranking the top 100. Yes. Jalen Johnson of the Bears, who was an all-pro cornerback last season, did not make the top 100.
No, not one of the 100 best players in the NFL.
But don't worry, the new media, they'll correct what the old media got wrong. So many years.
I love this one because it's the play. They can't stand behind any blaming somebody else or dumb media or anything. This is their voice and who they voted the top 100 players in the league.
So the thing that stands out the most, like Tyreek Hill being voted the number one player in the NFL, he's a fantastic talent. He's not the number one player in the NFL. It's ridiculous.
No, he is not.
I don't want to get into that. I don't, whatever.
Okay. I would like to yell about that because it is pretty stupid.
Well, best quarterback. It's the position we care the most about.
It is.
These are the top 12.
Top 12 NFL quarterbacks according to NFL Players.
Number one, Lamar, reigning MVP.
He is the reigning MVP.
Number two, Patty Mahomes. Might have heard of him.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Three-time Super Bowl champion.
I don't understand it.
Number three, Josh Allen. Yeah. Four is Jalen Hurts. Five is old Dakota Prescott. Six is C.J. Stroud. Seven is Brock Purdy. Eight is Jordan Love. Nine is Tua Tagovailoa. 10 is Joe Burrow. 11, Matt Stafford. And 12, Jared Goff.
There's a certain name missing there that's not a top 12 quarterback in the NFL. And I don't know what's more, actually, no, I do know what's more laughable. Patrick Mahomes not being named the best quarterback in the NFL is like you've lost all credibility. None of the other rankings matter. nothing else is valid. You're trying to look me in the eyes, an NFL player, and tell me you don't think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league? The guy that went into Baltimore and got a win in the AFC title game over Lamar Jackson.
Quite literally beat Lamar in
Lamar had
house.
Like three turnovers in that game. I love Lamar Jackson.
Wins are not a quarterback stat.
They not always are. No, and I defend that. But I love Lamar. He deserved to get paid. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He is not better than Patrick Mahomes.
No, he is
in any way, shape, or form.
Well, their seasons were much different. Lamar did have a better year than him.
Sure.
And I think they're reacting to what they see, because they're not, I don't think all these guys dive into the advanced analytics. No. They're not caring about, like, some of them, I think, don't value winning for quarterback stuff, so that also goes into this.
Well, then why is Brock Purdy in the top 10, and why is Jalen Hurts in the top 10?
Well, is that not, like, kind of earning respect, amongst your peers?
I'm a big Brock Purdy guy, but I don't think he's the, what was he, the seventh? I don't think he's the seventh best quarterback in the NFL.
Jordan Love made the list as 12th, right?
Jordan Love was 8th.
He was 8th.
He was ahead of Stafford and Goff.
He's ahead of Burrow. Joe Burrow.
Burrow was 10th.
And CJ, Justin Herbert, whose name did not show up in the top 12.
CJ Stroud didn't make the list. I know it was his rookie season, but Jordan Love.
CJ Stroud made the list.
Yeah, CJ Stroud was on there.
He was higher than Jordan Love and Brock Purdy.
Yes.
Oh, I missed the CJ.
He had 23 touchdowns, and he made the list top 6.
Yeah, automatically right there. 1-1 playoff game.
Let me ask you this.
What do you got?
I was thinking about this list. I knew it was right up our alley, like Herbert not being on it. He is a little bit of a polarizing quarterback. Like NFL media, fans, and players, he seems to be somewhat polarizing, Justin Herbert.
Yes.
Who would you remove from this list and put Herbert ahead of? Because I think from a player perspective, you and I are looking at this from a little bit of a local lens, right? And then we're also looking at it from the what he looks like and what his physical stature kind of is at that position. But from an accomplishment standpoint, he's got more numbers, longer longevity than Purdy in terms of how many years he's played.
Uh-huh.
But Purdy's had more success early on in the career. Who would you take over? Who would you take off the list to put Herbert on the list?
I believe Herbert is a better quarterback than Brock Purdy.
Okay.
I believe Herbert is a better quarterback than Tua. I believe that I believe that Herbert is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott.
Dakota.
I believe that Herbert
is a top 5 quarterback you're talking about right there.
I believe that Herbert's a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. I believe that Herbert
has been to a Super Bowl.
Is a better quarterback than CJ Stroud.
Really?
Yes, really.
Hurts, Prescott, Stroud, and Purdy. So you give me four. There's five.
There's
Tua.
Five. Yeah. Who else am I missing? I can keep going if you want me to keep going.
Is he better than Goff?
No, I'll give Goff deserves. I mean, Goff.
Stafford?
No, not Stafford. I wouldn't take him over.
I know you're not going Joe Shiesty.
I'm not going him over Joe B. No. Okay. Allen, no. Lamar, no. Mahomes, no. None of those guys I would.
Jordan Love.
Jordan Love, probably. I would probably still take Herbert over him.
Wow. Okay. So 6 of the top 12, you would take Herbert over.
Well, the CJ Stroud one is the funniest to me. CJ Stroud was unbelievable last year. 23 touchdowns and 5 picks, I want to say his numbers were. The
5th rookie quarterback to ever throw for 4,000 plus yards in a season.
Yeah. Who broke almost every rookie quarterback record in the NFL?
Herbert.
Okay. So does that not count anymore? That doesn't matter because he got hurt last year.
Get hurt last year. And then the year before that, his memory of his final memory was
a playoff game.
His team blew a huge playoff
game. And the quarterback that beat him in that game, also not a top 12 quarterback in the NFL. So that didn't matter for him.
Yeah.
I just find it funny how some quarterbacks get the benefit because they win in the playoffs, but the numbers aren't great in the regular season. Some quarterbacks get the benefit just because they're liked and they're talked about more than others are.
Well, Dak certainly isn't one of these. His numbers.
Dak Prescott being that high is laughable.
Yeah.
And Joe Burrow being that low is laughable. I know that he was hurt, and that's, I guess, a part of it, and I think you're right that we're just going off of what is the most recent thing that I've seen, and that's where my ranking will go. But if you take, like, the rushing yard thing is what separates Lamar in terms of winning an MVP over a guy like Patrick Mahomes. Their passing numbers were Mahomes threw a few more picks last year. He threw 14, and Lamar threw 7. But their touchdowns were identical. They both threw 24 touchdown passes, and Mahomes had an extra 500-600 passing yards on
his
the year.
His targets were substantially worse.
And his targets
Baltimore's,
were substantially worse. Yeah. And so none of this makes any sense. But yeah, if you're asking me where Herbert, I think a fair ranking for him would be in the 7 or 8 range because he was hurt last year.
I think the two that surprised me the most. Like, Purdy being 7 was a lot higher than I thought I didn't even know if he'd make this list. So he's clearly earned a lot of respect with whoever the players are that voted on this. Hurts at 4 and Prescott at 5. Probably.
I mean, that's just dumb. It's just dumb. Jalen Hurts is not a top 4.
I didn't think Hurts had that good a year last year. And Dak continues to just fall on his. I mean, it's not, again, wins are not a quarterback stat.
He
drew a pick 6 and had 2 picks in that Green Bay game. Yeah.
This is such a what have you done for me lately type of league. Obviously, it's the world of sports, but when you throw Justin Herbert under the bus because of what an injury, but Jalen Hurts last year.
How'd the playoffs go for the Eagles last year?
Exactly.
He was also injured.
However, then I also see, outside of Stroud and Love, I would say that every quarterback on this list has a accomplished more overall than Justin Herbert.
I think there's, what I would say is, and we'll go to the second hour, I think there's a real middle ground here. If we're just being honest, a middle ground of, I do think locally we kind of put him a little higher than most, pundit or player. But I also think when this kind of list comes out, it's like, really?
I mean, the way that
12 quarterbacks over him?
The way that I view it is, and maybe this is a different way than others do, like, if you're playing a fantasy world in your head, fantasy drafting quarterbacks.
I'm doing a dynasty league this year.
Look at you. Dynasty league quarterback draft. Okay, here's a great question for you then. Dynasty drafting quarterbacks.
Well,
you have Tua or Justin Herbert available. Who are you taking?
I'm probably taking Herbert.
Okay.
Because I worry about Tua suffering any other concussion.
Sure. Dak Prescott or Justin Herbert available?
Herbert.
Who are you taking?
Herbert.
Okay, so there's already two. Now he's a top 10 or top, where I don't know where he showed up.
I wasn't arguing that he wasn't.
No, I'm just saying this. It's just funny when we do this of, he didn't win in the playoffs last year. It's like, well, neither did Jalen Hurts. Neither did,
Neither did Dak.
Neither did Dak. Dak was horrible 2 years ago and lost the playoff game single-handedly against the Niners.
Stafford lost. Tua lost.
I mean, Stafford's fine. He won a Super Bowl 2 years ago. You want to give him that.
Saying,
that's fine.
Lost in the playoffs.
He did. He lost in his first playoff game. So you can go down the list of a lot of these guys, and you would take Herbert over half of them.
I did put a poll question up out of curiosity. I just took three players out of four because I can't do more than four. And the poll question is at Dirt and Sprague, and it's as follows. Which quarterback will have the best 2024 season? However you want to define that. Brock Purdy, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, or C.J. Stroud? Right now, shocking. Herbert's winning at 39.1%.
I thought there was a pretty obvious answer there.
Stroud is second at 27.1. Purdy is third, and Hurts is a dismal 9.3%. So not a lot of faith
There's
in Hurts.
One quarterback who had numbers better than all of the others last year, and it wasn't even particularly close, and he's not in first place.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy's numbers were better than literally all the other guys.
Might not have Ayuk.
And he was in the Super Bowl.
I know.
So if you're going team success and stats, shouldn't that answer be pretty obvious?
We have a loaded second hour. Is this guy the new coming of a player we were very familiar with? Loaded second hour. We'll go to the Daily Ticker at Iowa State for the Dirty Pole Dirt and Sprague Hour 2 on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.